Good afternoon. I'm Mark Bartlett, the head librarian, and welcome to a special afternoon here at the library. My first thing to say is if you have a cell phone in your pocket, please do take your cell phone, your buzzer, your laptop, anything that's going to make a noise. For the next hour and 15 minutes, we would certainly appreciate it if anything electronic is silenced in respect to our performers this afternoon. In 1937, there was a record label that was not around at that point. I'm holding a mug from Sun Records. And for those of you who know Sun Records, they were the early label that produced such artists as Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley. Are you hearing the speakers at all? Are you now? Okay, there we go. So let me just start once more. Mark Bartlett, the head librarian, Society Library, welcome. In brief, the mug that I'm holding is from Sun Records. And Sun Records was a label that was not around in 1937. It was a home of artists such as Jerry Lee Lewis and Johnny Cash and other performers who came later than 1937. Today, we are here to celebrate stuff before rock and roll, the good old music. And this morning, when I was home going through my iTunes listing, it took me only about 20 minutes to pull together a great set of songs that were written in that year, and I've been listening to them all day, and it's been reminding me what a rich period of music the 1930s was. This is a library, so the big news in 1937 was, of course, we opened up in this building. We had moved from University Place to the home you are now in, and we've been here ever since. And in 2007, we had an exhibition out in the gallery celebrating our 70 years here. Today is about the music, and it's not about me standing up here and giving you a history lesson. So let me step aside and welcome our three performers who will introduce themselves. Enjoy the afternoon. This is really going to be special.
And I'm Sarah Holliday.
And this afternoon we're going to offer you a variety of songs in a variety of styles by a variety of songwriters. All they have in common is that each of them was originally written or published in the year 1937.
Why 1937, you may ask?
Then again, why not 1937?
If we look familiar to you, it may be because we've been here before, usually with Michael Lasser, doing programs of songs by one specific songwriter. Last year, for example, we sang songs by E.Y. Harburg from 1932 to 1980. Think of that as approaching the 20th century horizontally. This time, we're going at it vertically. And in 1937, Harburg is only one of hundreds of popular songwriters at work. A few of them are people whose names still mean something today, Irving Berlin, George Gershwin, Cole Porter, but many of them have been lost in the mists of time. Frank Churchill, Cliff Friend, Scholem Secunda. For many of these men, and virtually all of them were men in 1937, all that survives of them is their songs.
In 1937, the center of American popular songwriting was New York City, more specifically West 28th Street, where the two blocks between Fifth Avenue and Sixth Avenue were known as Tin Pan Alley, so-called because of the clamorous din of scores of out-of-tune pianos clattering away all day in the offices of the music publishers that lined the street. Though radio, sound movies, and phonograph records were all in the ascendant, sheet music sales was still how songwriters made their money. If you had a song to sell in 1937, you'd start at one end of 28th Street and go from office to office until you found somebody to buy it from you. If it was a particularly good song, or if you were a well-known songwriter, you might receive a royalty deal. Otherwise, you'd probably sell the rights for a flat fee. Some of America's most famous songs were sold by their authors for as little as $5.
For a songwriter, all roads led to Tin Pan Alley, but plenty of roads led away from it as well. The leaders of the top big bands came to Tin Pan Alley looking for the next hit song. So did the music directors of the top radio stations. There weren't yet disc jockeys, but the top stations all featured live music and had a constant need for new tunes. So did the record companies, all of which were headquartered in New York and needed a steady stream of new product for a nation's worth of stores and jukeboxes. If you could write a snappy lyric or compose a beautiful tune, West 28th Street could be paved with gold. Cole Porter was another king of Broadway. Unique among his peers in not being the child of immigrants, he was born into an affluent family in Peru, Indiana, and attended Yale University. Beginning as a society songwriter, he eventually made his way to Broadway and, with the advent of sound, to Hollywood. Coming out of the operetta tradition of Gilbert and Sullivan, Porter was fascinated by Latin rhythms, and many of his most famous songs pulse with a Latin beat. His biggest hit of 1937 was written for the film Rosalie, in which it was introduced by Nelson Eddy.
stage, ladies and gentlemen.
1937 also was a big year in the recording career of blues legend Robert Johnson. In fact, it was the only full year in his recording career. He made his first record in late November 1936, and he died in 1938. His entire recorded legacy amounts to only 29 songs, but they were enough to cause Eric Clapton to call him the most important blues musician who ever lived. The 1937 Oscar for Best Picture went to The Life of Emile Zola. Show of hands, how many people have seen it? Ooh, I'm impressed. There were 10 Best Picture nominees that year, including such classics as The Awful Truth, Lost Horizon, and A Star is Born, but undoubtedly the year's most influential film, one whose revolutionary impact can be seen at any multiplex in America to this day, wasn't even nominated. In fact, its sole Oscar nomination was for its score, which featured this song. whether on Broadway, in Hollywood, on London's West End, or in small towns and cities across America, there was one subject that 1937 audiences wanted to hear about. Back in 1931, George and Ira Gershwin had assured Broadway audiences that love is sweeping the country, and 6 years later, it still was. One of the best love songs of 1937 is from a Broadway hit that never made it to Broadway in 1937. Me and My Girl, featuring a score by the British songwriter Noel Gay, scored a tremendous hit on the West End in 1937, running for more than 1,600 performances, but didn't make it to Broadway that year or the following year. Then came World War II, and by 1945, the show had closed and everyone had lost track of it. It wasn't until a 1984 West End revival that anyone noticed it again. Me and My Girl finally made it to Broadway in 1986 and ran for 3.5 years, being nominated for 13 Tony Awards and winning 3. Its biggest hit was a surprisingly simple song, a duet for a young man and his lamppost. Like we said at the beginning, we're Sarah Holliday and Gayden Wren, and this is our invaluable pianist, singer, and all-around trooper, Brenna Sage. We'd like to thank you for joining us today for this musical excursion through the past, and we hope you've had as much fun as we have.